Welcome to Inside Aesthetics, the world's leading podcast for injectors and aesthetic businesses. I'm Dr. Jake Sloan, an aesthetic doctor with over 16 years' experience in facial aesthetics.
And I'm David Siegel, an entrepreneur and business mentor with over 20 years of experience in our industry. Our podcasts are aimed at industry professionals, and any information or advice given is general in nature. You should consult with a healthcare provider before undergoing any treatment.
You can also subscribe to us on Patreon for on-demand content for injectable and business education. Good afternoon, David.
How are you?
It's an unusual one today. We're sort of wrapping up, getting closer to Easter, and we sort of half planned this one, but we're going to see where it goes.
They're always a little bit unusual.
That's true. We get, live a bit spontaneous occasionally.
So it's just you and I today. So it's a solo episode, I guess, final episode that we're recording before you disappear
into the ether for a couple of weeks.
How long are you gone for?
Be about 3 weeks in total. I mean, to be honest, I'm probably not being fully efficient with my time, but at the same time, if I don't get some rest, I'll come back completely, you know, like a blancmange and not want to do any more podcasts. So yeah, so a bit of time and we'll get into my travels, but, what's been happening with you?
Oh, so I just came back from ASCD down in Melbourne. So
what does that stand for? That's put you on the spot.
Australian Society of Cosmetic Dermatologists.
Correct.
Yes, I got it. So thank you to Professor Greg Goodman and Dr. Alice Rudd, who are two dermatologists down in Melbourne that invited me to come along and talk about, initially it was going to be about how to start a podcast, but I did cover the podcast a bit. I spoke about who we are, what we do, focused a lot on our ever-growing Patreon community, but then sort of gave some insights into a lot of the things I talk about on this show, which is about what's happening in the future from a business perspective in our industry and where I think we're going. So I've spoken about this stuff many times before. I won't bore you guys with it, but essentially we're moving into, I guess, a new era, I think, of sort of where we're at, the level of competition, having to get savvy with business, focusing on, you know, your why. You know, we spoke about that with Dr. Felix Bertram, and I know you're going to talk about one of the talks you're giving in a few weeks as well, that kind of echoes the same kind of concepts.
Yeah.
And from my perspective, what people need to be doing to make sure they're going to be successful into the future and potentially not become one of those stories of people that had a go but didn't quite make it because they just weren't in it for the right reasons or couldn't get the basics right from a business perspective. So it was really interesting, actually. And had an interesting debate with a gentleman called Sam McEwen. He was a keynote speaker as well, and he was talking after me, and he was talking about marketing and the importance of understanding your demographic and how to bring new business into your clinic. And we were doing a post-discussion sort of panel chat where we answered questions from the audience and from Dr. Alice Rudd asked us some questions as well. And topic came up around new clients versus existing clients and what strategies you should be doing to bring new patients into your business. And whilst I totally agreed with Sam that bringing new patients into your business is ultra important, especially when you're getting started. But from all the people I've spoken to who are ultra successful, they inevitably get to a point where their books are full and they don't have space for any new patients. And I think that's kind of the holy grail or the place that you really want to get to.
Yeah.
And if you do all the right things, there's no reason why you can't get there because you don't need thousands and thousands of patients. You just need a solid base of patients that stay loyal to you.
Yeah.
And if you're doing all the right things and focusing on the patient journey and giving good outcomes and being that person that becomes irreplaceable, then they're going to refer their family and friends to you. So we sort of had a little bit of a debate around where people's focus should be. And I think we kind of agreed, really, that existing patients are important, but I think especially for new businesses, it can sometimes become you can fall into the trap of new business, Instagram leads, sales, and it's important, especially when you're getting started. But I still really think the focus should be retention and looking at what's your most economical way of sustaining your business, and that's through keeping people, because every time someone leaves you have to replace them, and then there's all the costs that are associated with that.
Yeah.
And then there's also, you know, from your perspective as an injector, every time you're faced with a new patient, it's kind of like a blind date. Or Russian roulette. You don't know who's turning up in your chair, if you're aligned, they don't know you, you don't know them. You're kind of starting the journey all over again.
Yeah.
And I think it's nice to have the same faces turning up all the time. You've got a rapport, you're on a journey, they trust you, you trust them. And the people that they refer to your business, in most cases are going to be similar. You usually hang out and have friends that have similar interests and values to you, so you can end up with more of the same patients. So I like the idea of focusing on retention and giving such a great service to your patients that they refer everyone that they know. So that was an interesting discussion. But I mean, I'm not disagreeing that new patients aren't important. I just think where is the primary focus should be for people.
And what kind of questions were the crowd asking? I'm assuming there's lots of derms.
Well, they came through on an iPad. So it was all very sort of technical. So Alice was facilitating that. But a couple of questions came up around how do we advertise moving forward, especially now with these new regulations and the restrictions on certain word choices? You know, you can't talk about even anti-wrinkle or dermal filler anymore because that infers treatment with a scheduled medication. And it's a difficult one. I don't think there's an easy answer to this. I'm certainly no advertising expert. But I did talk about the fact that I think that social media potentially should be about highlighting who you are, what you stand for as an injector, what it is that you are offering that's different from your competition. So maybe focusing on education, but not being specific around treatments, maybe focusing on other parts of your practice that don't fall under the sort of control mechanisms of the regulators. So skin treatments, lasers, all those things that aren't scheduled medications perhaps can give you some more leeway. But I did say, I think it's going to get to a point where potentially you may not even be able to have before and after photos at all. And then people are really going to have to try and figure out how they're going to get their messaging across.
It's happened in Norway.
Right.
They banned before and afters. So we'll have to get someone on from Norway. In fact, I know exactly who I'm going to get on.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that because maybe they've got some good ideas for
us. Yeah. So it's great. And I think actually Alice asked this question herself was because, you know, she wanted to find out how she's going to advertise moving forward. Even someone that does dermatology as well as purely aesthetics. It's a difficult proposition, really, I think, for people. And I think it's a good opportunity for people to really think about what makes them different as an injector and how you're going to get your personality across and how you can educate without talking specifically about treatments.
Yeah. If you're listening thinking, wow, these guys are really leaning into business these days, we are, and we're going to do more.
Yeah.
Because we were speaking to someone who may come on as a podcast guest and maybe even as an IA partner. We'll explain what an IA partner is later on. But most of the questions, and if you go around to conferences around the world, and I'll be going to several of them soon, there's a lot more business focus. Yeah. And, you know, other spins like regenerative medicine as well. That's becoming far more dovetailed into aesthetics. But most injectors, and David can speak to this, you know, till he's blue in the face, are struggling with the business side of things.
Yeah.
And so if you don't understand that, and if we don't somehow help you, I think those injectors who are weaker at it are going to fail.
Yeah.
So that's why we're doing so much of
it. Yeah. And I think there's no shame in not knowing or not understanding.
Yeah.
Because no one teaches you this stuff. I mean, even when I studied business at university, like none of the stuff that I learned there really helped me at all.
Yeah.
When it comes to business, it's all sort of theoretical information. And
I can't imagine you as a student, honestly. Yeah. you've been a fucking nightmare.
I was. But I just didn't find any of it practically applicable.
Yeah.
I mean, I did a marketing course, a marketing diploma as well, and it didn't do anything for me.
Mm.
For me, everything that I've learned has been on the job, mixing and spending time with people that are much smarter, more educated, more experienced than me. And just making a ton of mistakes and going, shit, I better not do that again. How do I do that differently? So I guess the message for me is if you don't know anything about business, that's cool. But everyone needs to at least, the first journey is to admit that you don't know and then embark on a journey to educate yourself.
Yeah.
And so the good thing is, you know, there's resources like what we're doing. I do my mentoring. And you alluded to this guest that we're going to have on from the United States and perhaps form some kind of alliance with. There are people out there that can help you.
Yeah,
it's just about, you know, putting the ego to the side and being brave enough to say, I don't know, help me, because it is going to become more important. You don't have to become, you know, Richard Branson or Warren Buffett to have a successful business. It's just about getting your head around the basics and making it your focus.
Yeah. And if it wasn't obvious, you know, our longer term goal isn't to tell you all the answers, but it's to find people who can provide those answers.
Yeah.
So, you know, I sort of use the term IA partners. We've already got a couple like LTF, the digital marketing company in the UK. You know, we don't know anything about digital marketing, but if you do or you need that help, we've now you know, have a partner who can give you that.
Yeah.
Same for clinical photography with clinical imaging, one of other newer partners, and so on. And we're going to build out that to find experts in all countries. And so, you know, if you're actually listening as a company and you think, wow, I'd like to partner with Inside Aesthetics to get my name out there, then, you know, we'll have the details at the bottom of the podcast. You can reach out and tell us what you do and we'll see if we have that synergy.
Yeah. For us, it's just about building the global community. So not only with our growing Patreon membership, which is up to around 600 people in total that are part of that community, it's about finding other like-minded professionals, whether they be educators or providers of a service. Let's get together, because I certainly don't have all the answers. You don't have all the answers. Let's combine our efforts and our resources to create something that's appealing to the mass aesthetic community and leveraging on each other's skill sets to help and help people grow.
Yeah. By the way, if I'm lispy, I've got my Invisalign back in. I was taking them out for these podcasts and then I realized my compliance wasn't very good. So if I'm lispy, that's why. Anyways, so what else did you... Any topics that you saw at the ACD?
So again, this is my non-clinical brain watching clinical discussions, which I always find interesting because I'm always thinking about things from a different angle and what are the business implications and what potentially could flow on from here. But I guess no real surprises when you think about the fact that HA fillers have become, I guess in some ways, fallen out of favor in a lot of practices. They're not moving or being injected in anywhere near the same volumes. And there's multiple reasons for that. I think one, injectors are becoming potentially more conservative. Patients are becoming more conservative and wanting maybe a less exaggerated look. Then there's the discussions around, well, what is the argument for biostimulatory retreatments? And is there potentially a better result you can get with them, or is there less complications them? I don't know, but these are some of the discussions that I'm hearing and listening to what people are saying. Hmm. But one of the interesting talks with a guy called Dr. Daniel Ezra, who I believe is an oculoplastic surgeon from the UK.
Yeah.
And he was talking about his concerns and studies that he's done with HA filler. And he was presenting a whole lot of slides and information. There was a lot of information coming at me quite quickly, so I wasn't able to absorb it all. But from what I understood, he was saying was that long-term studies, and he had histology diagrams and before and after photos, was that HA fillers, as we all know, they're hydrophilic, they attract water and they expand over time. I think we all know that.
Mm.
They're lasting a lot longer than what we first were told. I remember when sort of certain products came out, we were told they only last 6 months, 12 months, 2 years, and you need to get retreatment again. So I think there's a lot of people that have gotten a lot of treatments in succession and they're lasting a lot longer and they're sort of continuing to slowly expand over time. And it was his position that, you know, any foreign substance in the body will create an inflammatory response and potentially a capsule around it, or, you know, you'll get collagen. That's what kind of what part of the upside is, that you get that collagen stimulation from the product actually being there. You obviously get trauma from the needle, which also causes some collagen stimulation. But he was saying that he's observed filler that has then caused excess collagen to be formed in and starting to cause like little lumps and things that aren't so desirable. And I think that's sometimes when you get situations where patients come in and say, look, I've got this lump, particularly like sort of under eye area where there's like a lump and people are trying to dissolve it and that's just not going away. And that's because it's not HA filler. It's actually a clump of collagen that's been created from the filler that's been there and continue to expand and migrate over time and potentially cause this collagen to form in places where they don't want it.
Mm.
So that was kind of the basis, and I might be sort of completely not doing it justice. So, you know, I think it would be great to get him on at some point and sort of put his position forward, because I'm certainly not a doctor. But that was my understanding. And I know you've got some views on HA filler as well. So you should unpack this
Degree. I'm going to hold my fire for a whole podcast on that topic, because I think it's really interesting. We're also, after Easter break, we're going on a break for a couple of weeks, but we'll get Dr. Mobin Master back.
Yeah.
And he's going to, I guess, update us on where he's at with his research. And it's all very much that topic.
Yeah.
But if we can get Dr. Ezra on as well, then awesome. We'll get both their takes.
Yeah, fantastic. And they also spoke about, there was a lot of focus on biostimulatory treatments.
Yeah.
So no surprises there. And there was some really interesting speakers. And you know, there was a gentleman from Spain. I think he was from Spain. I'm going to butcher his name, so apologies if I do that. If you're listening, I'm sorry. Or if someone that knows you is listening and tells you I spelled your name or pronounced your name incorrectly, I apologize. But his name was Dr. Antonio Campo Vigeli or Vigeli.
Right.
And he did an hour and a half presentation, and the subject of his talk was calcium hydroxyapatite in facial rejuvenation, personal injection protocol and experience after 16 years and 8,000 syringes with short and long-term outcomes. Provided an extensive discussion on his approach. He had tons and tons of videos on him actually performing the treatment, how he marks up the face, how he maps out a treatment protocol for each patient. He did emphasize, the big takeaway for me was he emphasized always using cannula, obviously to reduce vascular occlusion. You don't want that with a with a permanent filler or any filler, really, but particularly permanent filler. And injecting slowly, really, really slowly. He like mentioned it over and over again. And he, apparently he says he hasn't never had an occlusion with this product. And so, but the results, I mean, I've got some photos on my phone I was just showing you. Fantastic. I mean, I would say they're comparable with what I've seen achieved with HA.
Yeah.
But very interesting stuff. And he had certainly a lot of data there and a lot of long-term before and after photos and after one round of treatment, two rounds of treatment. And yeah, really, really impressive. But none of these products are new. They've been around for a really long time, but it's almost like we're rediscovering them and getting better at using them again and rediscovering old tools and sort of repurposing them.
Yeah. And I guess on the topic of trends, it's going to be a new focus for us on the podcast.
Yeah.
So, you know, in some ways we've deliberately stayed away from it. We don't want to be that kind of clickbaity, sensational podcast where we sort of jump on a topic and sort of, you know, make it bigger than it is. But at the same time, you know, David and I have realized that, you know, we started this podcast because we want to delve into a topic and try and be unbiased and unpack it and have a long form chat. But at the end of the day, a lot of the stuff that happens in our industry does come from social media, or at least it amplifies through social media. And some of those are trends that come and go.
Yeah.
And you know, many of you injectors out there are trying them or doing them. Some are good, some are bad. We'd love to sort of unpack that in a bit more detail in a podcast form rather than on a social media post.
Yeah.
So I don't know what we're going to call these, but we'll come up with a name by the time we start with them. But let's call them social media controversies and trends. We want to do a mini series of episodes on a trend per episode. So if you're listening thinking, hey, I'm the king of trap talks or, I don't know, calf talks, Holtox. We've even heard of Holtox. You know,
do you want to explain what Holtox is?
It's using toxin in the anal sphincter.
Right.
And I won't get into why you might want to do that.
Okay.
There are medical reasons and there are pleasurable or unpleasurable reasons.
Right. Okay.
Anyway, if you can think of a trend that you, you know, you don't have to be an expert in, but you are, you've got something to say about it and you want to share it and you're happy to talk for about 45 minutes, an hour on it, we will happily have you on.
Yeah.
We're going to leave all the details of how to apply for these types of episodes, as well as our other ones, Injector Diaries, Business of Injecting. If you're a sponsor, you want to sponsor a podcast or even become an IA partner, all that information is in a link down below. Because we really want to just talk to more interesting people and kind of expand some of the things that we do.
Yeah, and we're not particularly interested whether you have one follower or a million followers on Instagram. It's not about how big you are. It's about, are you credible? Are you interesting? Have you got an interesting story to share?
Yeah.
That's kind of what we're focusing on. It's not about just trying to target big accounts. It's about having interesting
And actually, you might be against this trend. And if you've got some good data and evidence and you've got something to say, it's not that you do the trend. But we want a balanced conversation where we sort of talk about the pros and cons.
And I think it's even if you're entirely against these trends, you still need to understand what they are.
Yeah.
Because you are going to be potentially presented with a question from a patient that's going to say,
yes,
do you do trap tox or do you do nasal tox or hay tox? And I guess they're expecting you to be able to come back with an answer that's substantiated in some kind of evidence or an opinion that you've sort of at least thought about. So I don't think it's acceptable just to ignore them. Even if you don't do them.
Correct.
Yeah.
So if that interests you, we'd love to have you on and we'll start recording these after Easter.
Yeah. And the only prerequisite is that if you are going to come on the podcast and come and have a chat with us, that you do become a supporter and a member of our Patreon community, because that's something that we're really focused on. I mean, we do sponsored episodes. We do them, we say no more than we say yes, to be quite honest with you. And we are focused on keeping this unbiased and not wanting to become an infomercial and hammer you guys with ads. So one of the ways that we want to give back to the community, and it helps us as well as this Patreon global family, I guess, that we've created. And so by joining that, it supports us, and also the more people, the more brains, the more people that are willing to share, the stronger and the better that community becomes. So that's the only prerequisite.
Yeah. I'll tell you why we do that as well, is to be completely frank, we get a lot of PR companies or individual injectors reaching out saying, hey, I want to do an episode. And when we sort of unpack it just with, you know, one email, they basically want some free PR to be on the podcast. Mm. And that's awesome. I understand we have a big reach and it will be helpful for you, but it doesn't really help us. Mm. So we would like you to become a sort of a more consistent part of our Patreon community, because then you're there with hundreds of other injectors actually helping and giving advice and just learning with us.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll do another podcast with you one day. If you've give that much value, we'll get you back to do another one.
Yeah. It's all about like synergy.
Yeah.
And everybody benefiting out of the relationship and giving back to the community. So that's the only prerequisite that we have.
Yeah.
So getting back to you, you're about to embark on a ton of travel again. So you've been gone for a few weeks or a week. You've come back for a week and a half. You've just gotten over your jet lag and now you're about to take off again. So tell us all about your travels and what's going to be happening whilst you're overseas.
Okay. So I can't remember. My brain has gone to mush. About a week ago, I was in Bangkok, Thailand with Allergan. So wasn't teaching. I was actually being taught or absorbing more knowledge. So it's actually really cool. So the focus was the MD codes. If you guys know what the MD codes are, it's like a technique that Allergan teach. And that was designed by Maurizio De Maio. The first day was actually in the cadaver lab. Mm. So that was a new initiative. We've never done that before, whilst also incorporating the MD code technique. So of course we had specimens. We were divided into tables of just five injectors with either a dissector or an anatomist or a plastic surgeon from various countries. It's pretty amazing actually, just the logistics of it. And I just can't imagine how expensive and difficult that must have been to organize. But nevertheless, it was great. And then we utilized our cadaver specimen to obviously, we had sort of some preloaded syringes of dyed filler. So then we could obviously do the technique for that particular part of the face, then dissect one, interrogate what was our technique like.
Yeah.
Did we get the right layer? How close were we or not were we to the nerve bundle, the vascular bundle? But then of course, just look at the anatomy and learn because, you know, most of this stuff is very theoretical. We learn from books and diagrams, but really every face is different. So that was pretty cool. And then the next 2 days was the MD Codes event. So if many of you would have seen sort of videos or been to these events, it's pretty huge scale, sort of 500, 1,000 injectors and another 1,000 watching online with Maurizio doing his thing. But, you know, for me, that's the education that I enjoy. Some people don't like live injecting, but that was a great event. And then, yeah, so I got back last week. And then this Sunday, I'm off to New Zealand. I've never been to New Zealand, have you?
Yeah. A couple of times.
What should I expect in Auckland? What's the weather going to be like in March?
Oh, it's a bit cooler than here.
Right.
For sure. I like New Zealand. I've always liked New Zealand people. They're very laid back, chill, hardworking, good sense of humour.
Nice.
Food's good. Yeah, I think it's a really beautiful country too.
Just
from a natural beauty perspective, especially. I know you're going to Auckland if you head down to the South Island. That's quite picturesque as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. Sadly, I'll see a hotel and a couple of clinics and then I'll be gone. But yeah, I'm going to three different clinics. I forget their names and would shout you out. But we'll be doing something. I don't actually know if I'll have the capacity to inject myself because of the licensing issue.
Right.
So I'll either be supervising or similar some injectors, and hopefully we'll have some models.
Mm.
Don't know whether we're focusing on toxin or filler or both or neither. Maybe it's all theoretical, but hopefully those clinics get some value from my time there. And then the second day in the evening, Allergan are doing what's called like a more medical event. So it's not a sales or a commercial or a clinical focus. It's the science of the products. So I'll be doing a talk on delayed onset nodules, or what some people call late onset events.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of this stuff is still poorly understood and I don't have all the answers, but I'll certainly give my spin on the data, the latest evidence, what I think you can do to prevent some of these things. And of course, utilizing some of the Allergan products in that talk.
Yeah.
So that's only for 2 days in New Zealand. Then I come back for one day just to say hi to my daughter for her birthday.
That's it.
And then that evening I fly to London.
So you're coming from New Zealand back to Australia, then to London?
Yes. Yeah, nice. I know. It's a bit crazy. Well, it's kind of on the way, at least. At least I'm not going back on myself. yeah, and then from London, I'll be going to the ACE conference.
What does ACE stand for?
I actually don't know.
You put me on the spot with that.
I know. I did actually try Googling. I couldn't find the answer, but everyone knows it as ACE.
Right.
So it's a big, it's actually a free conference. It's actually, I guess free. We don't have free conferences in Australia.
Who's funding it?
Well, there's mainline sponsors. I think Teoxane are the major sponsor, but of course there's probably hundreds right. others.
Okay.
So it's actually really cool that injectors can get that sort of thing. Well, I don't think yeah. we have that here in Australia.
No.
So it's a big event near King's Cross. And I'm just looking to, well, I'm doing one talk. It's called What Sort of Injector Are You? So I guess similar to what you know we've been doing with the business side of stuff, I really want to, I mean, I've only got 15 minutes, but I want to try and maybe motivate, inspire, and get people to really think about what you're doing and why.
Hmm.
I won't give away more than that. But yeah, hopefully come and listen to that talk and we can connect after and maybe go into it in a bit more detail if you've got any specific questions. Mm. And then that evening, they've got what's called the Aesthetic Awards.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big fancy do at the Grosvenor Hotel. And luckily enough to be invited and sort of sit on the guest table. And my understanding, because we don't really have anything like that here in Australia, is the community and the aesthetics industry sort of vote for their peers.
Right.
And, you know, someone will win various categories. I'm judge of the non-surgical results category.
Right.
I didn't really feel empowered to talk about who's the best clinic and who's the yeah. best injector because I don't know everyone.
Right.
But I was happy to judge, you know, results.
And so they're just photographs and video, like so.
Photographs, but also a big summary of plan, strategy, technique, filler, choice, right. etc. So it's actually a lot of work.
Have you gone through all of that already?
I've gone through all of them.
How many applicants were there?
Great question. Well, I think they whittled it down to about 12 finalists.
Okay, so you had, you had 12.
A lot of work going through you know, all of the photos and all of the backstory. But, you know, if you're going to be a judge, I think you should give it your due yeah. diligence.
And what are you looking for? Like, what is it that constitutes a great result, or what are the metrics that
that's
you're
a
looking
really good question. Look, for me, it's a number of criteria. It's obviously a sound story. I mean, obviously, I couldn't see the full patient sure. sort of photos and stuff, but does the product choice, the strategy, the technique, the volume, etc., make mm-hmm. sense?
Yeah.
You know, at least from my perspective. The clinical photography, and I know that not everyone has the perfect system, but for me to judge and say you are the winner, I can't give someone the prize if their photography doesn't make sense. I just can't.
When you say doesn't make sense, you're talking about consistency. Right.
Lighting, ability to at least show that you've tried to get the right pose and angle, consistent hair style, etc. I mean, you know, again, I know that we all have different sort of resources in our clinics and we're all different stages of our career. But, you know, if you're going to give someone a prize for that, I really feel like you should show that you at least tried.
Yeah. Well, I think it even goes back to a more core principle than that, which is that forget about awards. This is
your patient.
This is your patient. This is your medical evidence. This is yeah. a clinical note.
Yeah.
This is the way that you're potentially going to promote yourself and demonstrate, even if you're not doing it on social media. When patients come in clinic and you're showing the results that you're able to achieve,
yeah.
that you do it in the best possible light that you possibly can. I mean, we've spoken about this before. If you're an artist that makes sculptures for a living or paintings and you're showing your work,
yeah.
I'd be very surprised if there's any artists out there, well-known artists, that are showcasing their work with photos they've taken from a phone. I know Kanye West did at the Super Bowl with his phone, but I just mean in terms of like wanting to show it in the best possible light with the highest possible quality,
yeah.
I don't understand why you wouldn't. And I mean, if you're going to set up a clinical practice, it should just be built in to your budget that you yeah. have a proper system.
This is one of my biggest bugbears. I don't want to sort of do it to death, but just the other day I saw a very well-known injector from the UK. I'm not going to throw him under the bus because I respect him, but he did a before and after of a thing and he got like 600-800 likes and people saying, wow.
Yeah.
It was shocking how crap the before and after was.
When you say crap, what do you mean?
I mean, completely, completely different. Lighting, angle, field of vision, just everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, just as an observer, I mean, it sounds so sort of petty in a way, but I didn't want to engage with that post because then I'm showing my support for something that I completely disagree with.
Mm. Do you reckon it was intentional or do you reckon it was ignorance or laziness?
I honestly don't know. But I was surprised that he was happy to do it, seeing as he's so high profile.
Mm.
And he was sort of endorsing that technique and product as a result of that photo.
Yeah.
Which, you know, if something is so inconsistent, it's not for me to say it's good or bad. I just think you can't comment. You just can't because they're so different.
Mm-hmm.
How can you say that the result was driven by the product or the technique when you just can't tell?
Yeah. Because a lot can be achieved by lighting.
Correct. I mean, you know, I'm sure Subio and others have done this, but you can just fake results with a different light.
Yeah.
Of course you can. We know that. So for someone so famous, but also in a award setting, to not demonstrate best standards, I think it's not good enough.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, that might be me being harsh, but I agree with everything you said. And, you know, if we're going to showcase and give out trophies for the best result, we've also have to have the best technique and evidence for it.
Yeah. And it's such an important part of just your patient interaction. So when you're consulting a patient, the fact that you are able to show consistency when you're doing a consultation and talking about the sort of results you're going to achieve or why you're recommending this treatment protocol or this product.
Yeah.
The photography is just key to that, isn't it? And especially if you get, say, a patient that has an adverse event or says they're unhappy with the aesthetic outcome, if you don't have consistent photographs, that's going to make your life very difficult to defend.
I cannot consult without these photos. And I can't do it because of, you know, whether it's deciding what the treatment is or looking at the before and afters or dealing with the complaint. Without that, I have nothing.
Well, then it's just your word against the patient. Yeah. You can't even prove. Like the amount of times over the years in my clinics where a patient would come back and say, I had treatment and now I've got this thing here. I've got this lump or I've got this phenomenon that wasn't there
new
before.
New wrinkles.
Yeah. And the amount, like almost on every occasion, you go back and have a look at the before photo and it's there. It's just because now they're hyper-focused on that area of their face or potentially you've treated something which has now made that more obvious.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do in that situation if you don't have a photograph? And consistent photographs, I can tell you that someone like Jahan, who's the lawyer we've had on a number of times, the first thing they're going to do is attack your clinical photography and say, you've doctored the photo, this is not consistent, therefore it's not evidence that's going to support your case.
Yeah.
So it's not, I mean, in the scheme, when you think about how much money people spend on going out on the weekend or overseas travel, $5,000 to $10,000 maybe for a really whiz-bang system from our friend Woodrow, who we actually got a partnership with. So if you go to our Patreon partnership page, you'll find we've got an offer there. Yeah. I don't think he does overseas yet, but I'm sure you can find...
He actually does.
Oh, he does. Okay.
So this is global. I know people in the States who've got your system.
Right.
South Africa, UK, Australia, New Zealand, and some other countries actually.
Yeah.
So this is a global offer. So if you're sat there going, oh, I don't know how to do it, I've got an iPhone, there is a solution.
Yeah.
Just at least read it. You don't have to necessarily commit, but read what's available.
Yeah. And if you don't like your system, at least get someone else's, get something, get off your iPad, off your phone. Because those things go missing too. And then we all know there's data breaches all the time.
Yeah.
If they can get into like a major telecommunications company or a government institution, they can get into your iPhone or your iPad.
100%.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Anyway, let's get off the topic of photography.
Yes,
but it's a big fancy party as well. So I'm looking forward to just, you know, meeting UK injectors and connecting. And, you know, if you're a listener, come and say hi. I'd love to see you.
Yeah. And then you're off to France to visit the Allergan factory.
Yeah. So, we fly to Geneva, actually, and then we drive across the border. It's only about 40 minutes.
Okay.
So, the village or town is called Prangy. I've never been. I actually organized to go there just before COVID.
Uh-huh.
And thank God I trusted my instinct and I canceled because I would have been stuck in Europe for a year.
A year?
Yeah, because of the whole flight.
Oh my gosh.
Debacle.
Oof.
So thank God I didn't go.
Wow.
But anyway, it will be really interesting. It's not something that's easily available for your injector just deciding they want to go to the factory.
Mm.
But occasionally we get invited and I'll actually be joining the Canadian Allergan trainers who are coming to Monaco as well. So I'll get to connect with the Canadian team. I believe the Chinese and Japanese team will be there as well. But I just want to really see behind the scenes, how is this stuff made? What's the science? Sterility is a big thing that I want to get my head around. Of course, I know it's already done to the nth degree, but I want to just see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about these things very theoretical, but it'd be cool to go. And
are you going to be allowed to take photos and video?
I honestly don't know if they let me, and I will ask. I will get. We've
just got to hide a body
content.
Cam, hide a body cam on you somewhere.
Yeah, definitely won't do that. Valigan are listening. But
if you're listening, cavity search, Jake.
Yeah. But you know, if I can share something, our patrons will be the first to find out, and then on to Monaco and AMWC.
Very nice.
So,
are you talking there this year?
I'm not. I'm just going to connect, explore. Go to see which talks I think are interesting.
Right. Have you earmarked any yet that you want to go and see?
Well, I don't know if the program is fully finalized. I'm sure it is, but I haven't seen the finalized one.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, I'll be going to some of the bigger symposiums where I get to sort of see some of the brands and maybe some of the newer products. I actually did see something interesting, bit of a shout out to BTL. They're going to talk about M-Face submental applicator for double chins. Right. I don't know how that works. Maybe it's an RF device.
Yeah, right.
Don't know. Anyway, I saw that advertised yesterday. It's going to be launched at Monaco. But, you know, it's huge. There's so many lasers and devices and fillers and new toxins probably. So I will come back with a report back from Monaco for a future podcast.
And I think we're actually going to record a podcast whilst you're overseas in situ or on location.
Well, I don't know what we're going to talk about yet, but I'll try and connect with some cool people and we'll see what we can do for you.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
So, we'll do a rundown of ACE. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be some interesting stuff to be, you know, sort of divulged and shared. So we'll do an ACE rundown and maybe we'll do an extra one. And we'll try and find Dr. Daniel Ezra as well.
Yeah, try and hunt him. You've reached out to him before, but
maybe I'll literally go and hunt him down and knock on his clinic and see if I can connect.
With a microphone.
Yeah. Give me a sound piece.
And then you're off to Dubai.
Yeah, Dubai's, look, I will visit a couple of clinics and see some colleagues, but it's more just downtime after my crazy trip.
Where are you staying?
I'm staying at a friend's house.
Oh, yeah?
My friend Richard from school.
Richard from school?
Yeah, he lives there with his wife, Lindsay, their kids, and it's very nice and it's easy. He works from home, so it's quite casual.
Oh, great. Yeah. Perfect. That's nice, cheap accommodation for him.
Exactly.
Airbnb.
I've done enough of the fancy hotels in Dubai. It's too expensive.
So hopefully no more travel after that for the year.
Yeah, I don't have anything planned. There may be an opportunity to go back to Bangkok just for 2 or 3 days with Allegan, but apart from that, nothing's on the cards.
Right.
So,
You'll be all travelled out, I think, by then.
100%. We need to record some more podcasts.
Yes, so, we do.
We can't be away for too long.
Yeah. And speaking of podcasts and competitions and exciting stuff that's happening.
Yeah, guys, first of all, thank you for your, I guess, engagement in applying and sort of, tagging all your colleagues on Instagram. It literally went mental. Like, we just couldn't keep up with, the comments and stuff. And so thank you if you did apply. We will be announcing the winner tonight, March 15th, on our Instagram. We haven't quite decided at the time of recording whether we'll do a live or a pre-recorded thing. But nevertheless, the winner will be announced tonight. So good luck.
Yeah.
If you're still in there for the win.
And just to remind people what was actually on offer. So it was a free ticket to the Inner Circle, which is a super exclusive event. They only do 50 tickets per year. So we got Felix to kindly manufacture a 51st ticket for us. So we call it the Wonka Golden Ticket.
I actually think it was the 50th, but maybe it was the 51st. I don't know.
There you go. They get flights from wherever they are in the world to Zurich that we have paid for. So that's an IA gift. Transfers to hotel accommodation. You also get dinner at Dr. Felix Bertram's 2-star Michelin restaurant called Skins, which is attached to his dermatology clinic.
It's literally a corridor. I've been through it.
It's mental.
It's like the secret corridor.
It actually is like Willy Wonka. The Swiss Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
Well, chocolate comes from Switzerland. There you go.
Definitely.
It all works. But it was fantastic. And that's not the only competition that we've done. So in the past, we've done them with people like Dr. Arthur Swift, who I'm sure you all know, Julie Horn. These things are fantastic initiatives to sort of get people hyper excited, engaged, getting people to hear about our podcast and taking advantage of generous sort of prizes and gifts that we've been lucky enough to collaborate with people on. So we want to start doing these more regularly. I think we'd like to ideally do one of these once a quarter. So if you're someone in the space that wants to collaborate with us on a gift or some sort of prize that we can sort of run and raffle off, it'd be, send
something
us
cool and bespoke.
Yeah, something different.
Yeah. We kind of added on an extra prize as the competition was happening. So Rick O'Neill, one of our IA partners, who is the founder of LTF, Look, Touch, Feel, a digital marketing company, he popped up in the comments on the day one of the competition, said, I want to give a prize. So he gave a month of sort of digital support with his company. So that's also part of the prize.
There you go. Cheeky bugger just hopped on in there.
Yeah. Well, hey, the more the merrier.
Exactly.
So yes, the winner will be announced tonight on our Instagram. So good luck. But yes, if you're interested in partnering on a competition, we'd love to support that and do it for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to win one of our prizes, to be honest with you.
Well, I reckon I'm really annoyed that we didn't sort of pre-plan it even further, but next big competition, for example, an event, we should be at the event.
Yeah.
So we will pre-plan that for next year, maybe.
Yeah. I wonder what we're going to do.
Don't know. Maybe there's things cooking, maybe they're not.
Yeah.
Who knows?
There you go. I guess maybe to wrap things up for this episode, which is a little bit brief, 40 minutes still seems like a long time, but it's not.
It's a short one for us.
Sure, yeah, normally they're an hour and a half. What's been happening in Patreon for you this week? I know what I've been doing, but I don't know what you've been doing.
It's so hard to say because things are pre-recorded, but I had someone shadow in my clinic and she's a dentist.
Yes, from Perth.
So yeah, from Perth. And we did a couple of videos, but I think this week's video, we focused on muscles of mastication and clenching and grinding because she actually herself clenches and from my examination probably grinds as well.
Yeah.
But you know, for whatever reason has never been treated. So I went through examination, marking up of masseter, temporalis, can't remember whether we got to pterygoid as well, and also how to inject, dose considerations and aftercare.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So a video on that.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that you recorded, which is unusual, but it was actually quite cool, you did a bit of inject content with Dr. John Joseph, who has previously been on the podcast, episode 230. And if you don't know John Joseph, you must listen to this episode. It's one of our most interesting ones and maybe novel ones. But you had a chat to him about the topic of that podcast, but in a sort of a slideshow format.
Yeah, well, I was just having a chat to him because we're working on a few projects that potentially we're going to be collaborating with on the future. And he sort of just randomly brought up his PowerPoint presentation. And he demonstrated this needle that he has created and trademarked and is in the process of getting some final FDA approval. And it's going to be all around the world, hopefully, that allows him to administer toxin in hyper concentrated doses, which is kind of difficult to do with the insulin needles that you guys are using.
You almost can't, to be honest.
They're not really designed. They're kind of like an insulin needle that's just been used for Botox and other toxins because we haven't had a specific injecting tool made for us. And so he's designed this syringe that allows you to essentially create like micro droplets because he's reconstituting in like, was it like 0.3 and 0.5 mil of diluent, which is be really difficult to sort of deliver in the traditional insulin needle. So he sort of takes us through his studies and his injecting protocols and dilutions. And it's a couple of videos of patients. So he injected 90 units of Dysport into someone's perioral lines. And I'm sure everyone's just like going, what the hell? Like, that's a massive dose. And the woman's actually on camera talking about it. And so essentially by reducing the dilution, there's less product getting into muscles that are undesirable, which cause a lot of potential side effects, you know, sort of getting eyelid ptosis and weird things happening in the face. So anyway, he demonstrates this needle and how easy it is to sort of administer these micro droplets. So that's going to be uploaded this week. Super interesting.
Yeah. I actually saw him. In fact, that's why we got him on the podcast. Yeah. I saw him do a similar talk in Miami. That's how I connected with him. But I hadn't seen the syringe. So it's really cool to see that as well.
Yeah. So if you want to check that out and you're not a Patreon member, you can go on and do a 7-day free trial. And if you like it, stay on. We'd love to have you part of the community, but otherwise just dip in and see what it's all about. But that video is going to be up in the next day or so. So that's going to be really interesting. And I've also done a couple more maximizing sales or retail sales opportunities with Cassandra Smith. So there's been a couple more of our patrons that have put their hand up and been willing victims to allow us to sort of go through their front of house or reception area, patient waiting area, and talking about how you can move things around, how you can display your product to make it more conducive with sales and a better patient experience. So more of those coming that I've done with Cassandra Smith. In truth, I just do the introduction and let Cassandra go because this is her area of expertise. But it's really fascinating stuff how these little changes make such a big difference to your retail sales and the patient experience in your waiting areas.
100%. And I guess final bit of news. So next week will be March 22nd. And then the week after that, we're going to go on a maybe 3 week break. It just depends on sort of recording schedule when I'm away and so on. But we should have one back. We should be publishing by April 12th again.
So in the meantime, go back and listen to any of the other 250 odd episodes that you haven't listened to yet. Patreon will still be pumping along.
Yeah.
The WhatsApp communities that we've got on there are just a constant hive of activity, people asking questions and asking for advice. And it's really fantastic. And obviously, you know, socials will continue on as well. And have a safe trip.
Thank you, buddy.
We were looking forward to connecting while you're overseas and hearing about all your talks and your learnings. And hopefully we'll come back with some more interesting guests to talk to. And hopefully we hear from some of you guys that either want to partner with us or come on as a guest. And let's kick on. Let's make 2024 an amazing year.
Yeah. So if you're listening thinking, I want to do an Injector Diaries, I want to do a business one, or I want to do whatever, all that information is down below how to sort of apply to be a guest. Like I said, the prerequisite is just become part of our Patreon community. It's not expensive.
Yeah.
You actually get a ton of education as well as, you know, the exposure of being on as a guest.
Yeah.
So come and join us.
Hope to see you there and safe travels, buddy.
Take care, buddy. See ya.
For our latest news, follow us on Instagram at Inside Aesthetics Podcast. If you want to get in touch with myself or David, follow us on Instagram as well at Dr. Jake Sloan and David_InsideAesthetics.
Join our Patreon for invaluable business and injectable education. Get access to our global community of like-minded professionals, live and interactive Zoom sessions, hints and tip videos, webinars, and more. Head over to www.insideaesthetics.com/Patreon for more information.